Well, you know, we all have just heavy hearts what's taking place in Las Vegas Sunday night, and still trying to wrap our minds around it, and mourning with those who mourn, weeping with those who weep. And we saw an article on Facebook by our friend and brother in Christ, Dr. Mark Eckel. He's the president of the Comenius Institute in Indianapolis, and we have Mark on from time to time. Got him with us this morning. Mark, this is Linda. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again this morning.
Well, thanks for being a trooper and accepting my early morning phone call, Mark.
No problem at all.
But we saw the article you wrote on Facebook on terror, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about it because it kind of reflects back to the day in our country when life changed, and that was September 11, 2001. Talk a little bit about this article.
Sure, yes. I'll try to keep it together here too, because this is it's an emotive thing for me, as it is for so many of us around the country. So I was teaching at Moody Bible Institute back in 2001, and I remember vividly, as if it was yesterday, just finished lifting weights at the Solheim Center. I had seen individuals, workers around the Solheim, bringing out televisions, and gaggles of students began to gather around them, and we began to see the horrors of September 11th. I remember distinctly coming out of Moody that particular day. We had had announcements all day from city officials, national officials, as well as Moody officials, that either you stay inside or those who are moving out back to the suburbs on trains go back to the train station. I remember the trafficless streets, the empty sidewalks, and the sound barriers being broken overhead by F-16 fighter jets. We found out later on, of course, that those of us who lived in big cities or commuted to them were especially thought to be the next targets of some terror attack. And so places like Chicago were the kinds of places that people were especially concerned about. And then, of course, my mind after Sunday's awfulness, I began to receive chimes on my phone about 4 a.m. I wake up pretty early, and we began to see things from the West Coast, Nevada in particular, about the horrendous shooting there. The details trickled in, of course, just a couple of hours after the event. We were on the East Coast, so we're getting things a little bit later, of course. And then the next couple of hours, my phone continued to chime as I was getting new news reports about the latest horrors that we were seeing there. The carnage, the loss of life, hundreds hospitalized. And like most of us, I think, in situations like this, we rage against the cowardice of a madman, and at the same time spill many tears for all of those who hurt so desperately. And I wrote this particular essay immediately after, a couple hours later, actually yesterday, after the events. I had something else ready to go today, but knew that I couldn't post that because it just wasn't the time for that. And so I was reflecting back again on what I did at Chicago just a day or two after 9/11. I was going back into the city, and I was supposed to be teaching students. And I was supposed to be teaching students about how to teach. And I couldn't go back and teach students how to teach, just as if nothing had happened. And mm-hmm. So I actually, on the 45-minute train ride in, I created this lesson entitled How to Teach After the World Changes. And I referenced the laments of the psalmist, the wails of Job, the anger of Habakkuk, and longing for peace from Malachi. And in all of that, I was trying to help my students go through the process of the difficulty of dealing with suffering. And so in my essay, as I did then, I did today, my focus is not on the person who committed the atrocity, motivations, intentions, but focusing on the people that we can help in calamity. Not focusing on political concerns, but focusing on the concerns of the spirit, the wellspring of human suffering and love. My emphasis is not on trying to interpret or conclude, but rather to comfort, calm, and cry with those who cry. Instead of clamoring for some cultural response, do something positive, like stand in line as a Red Cross to give blood. And don't believe that this is the worst or the last of things that we will see. But this will help us know how to respond the next time something like this happens. And ultimately, as a teacher, I'm an educator at heart, been doing this for decades, and I wanted to remind myself and my students that my best response to any terror-filled situation is how to prepare myself for suffering. And I think that in our Christian view of life and things, that we often forget that we should be preparing people for suffering and how to respond biblically with lament and how to deal with the human horrors that we see around us and the problems that we see that come out of the human heart. These are the issues that we really need to focus on. So that was the essence of the essay that I wrote today, and of course, reaching back into some memories from 16 years ago.
Mark, this is Kelly, by the way, and I really appreciate what you had to write because, you know, as I even think, we just had that anniversary of 9/11 not that long ago, and I was sharing with Linda and all of our listening family that not long after the events of 9/11, I had purchased a magazine. It was a commemorative magazine full of photos, photos that really stood out from that time. And I bought that because I didn't want to forget. But I still, all these years later, cannot bear to pick it up and open it. It sits on my shelf, and there are some things about 9/11 that my heart can't bear to even touch or think about right now. And then we go through something like what has happened in Las Vegas. And as you've said, it's those feelings, they all rise up all over again. And it's hard to go on with business as usual, even though there is business as usual to do. That is what really jumped out at me, just the transparency of what you had to say. And, you know, I appreciate also what you're saying this morning about encouraging people in what they can do. But maybe you can share just for a second and encourage our listeners about resting in the peace that's already been given to us by Christ, the peace that he spoke of, not as the world gives, but as he gives. How do we center ourselves in that?
Sure. Well, let me begin by quoting one of my favorite poets. Czesław Miłosz is a Polish poet, won the Nobel Prize for Poetry in 1980, and he lived through the awfulness of World War II and the atrocities against the Jews. And the awfulness that he experienced personally. And this is what he wrote when he accepted the 1980 Nobel Prize for Literature. He said, "The living owe it to those who can no longer speak to tell their story for them." I'll say that again. The living owe it to those who can no longer speak to tell their story for them. The emphasis in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is to never forget, always to remember. Our focus, of course, is an eternal focus. Our focus is a heaven focus. Our focus is on Jesus and what he has done for us. And the whole of Scripture points forward to this and the anticipation that we have yet to come. And your reference to peace goes back to the Hebrew word shalom, which means wholeness or completion. And we anticipate this great day when Jesus will return. And that this anticipation and the wholeness of completion that we look forward to at that particular time, Titus 2 just says it all, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the anticipation of hope that we have and the peace that we look forward to. We will not have peace on this earth. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 10, "I come not to bring peace but a sword." And the emphasis, of course, from Jesus' words is that my message divides people. And so at this particular juncture, our interest is in sharing the gospel with people so that they get a sense that, hey, maybe there's an outside person that can help me with this, a transcendent source of knowledge and understanding that deals with suffering that I see all around me constantly. And so the peace that we offer to people is the peace that Jesus gives through his death, burial, and resurrection, the eternal life that we have because we've acknowledged him as our Savior and Lord. And we look forward to this wonderful opportunity for rest and peace into the future. But for right now, our responsibility is to give the peace that we look forward to those who don't have it now, and to share it with them, and to share the peace of Christ with them. And this is our responsibility. And just to say again about the essay that I wrote, my responsibility at this particular juncture, at this day, yesterday, today, and going forward, my responsibility is to stand silent, arms around the shoulders of my brothers and sisters in Vegas, tears streaming down our cheeks with heads bowed, And I think that that's our response, and that is a demonstration of the peace of Christ that we can give to others.
Absolutely. You know, just our hearts and our love ministering to people who have suffered great loss. Dr. Mark Eckel, president of the Comenius Institute in Indianapolis. Mark, always a pleasure having you join Kelly and me on Mornings with Kelly and Linda. You have a blessed day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks again.